What's up, everybody? This is Noah Daniels, and we're here for another episode of the Real Hauntings Podcast, the podcast where we bring on friends and guests to tell their ghost stories and real supernatural experiences.
Awesome. And I'm JJ Crable.
I'm Catherine Clark.
Yeah, so we got producer Kat jumping in on this episode, and we have
What's
a
up?
Very special guest. Andy, why don't you introduce yourself?
Hey, everyone. My name is Andy. I'm from Miami, Florida, but now I currently live in Los Angeles, where I am directing films. I've been out here for 6 years. You can find my first feature film. It's called Between the Darkness. It's a horror film available on Amazon and iTunes. And it's really interesting because the themes of that horror film, I think, are a great topic to discuss here on the Real Hauntings Podcast, because it's one that I haven't heard yet. I've listened to every episode. Love you guys, big fan. And this topic is that of sleep paralysis, which I'd love to dive into. And for those of you that haven't heard of sleep paralysis, it's a disorder where your body becomes paralyzed in deep REM cycle of sleep. And the part of your brain that controls motor functions and movement shuts down for whatever reason. You can't move. You're totally paralyzed. You're trapped in your own body. The only thing you can move are your fingers. My toes usually can move a little bit. It's sort of like in Kill Bill, like wiggle your big toe. And that's how you're able to regain movement. But the creepiest part of sleep paralysis is that most people that have it, they associate it. They all hallucinate some shadow person, whether it be the Hat Man, who's a silhouetted tall, creepy dude wearing a fedora, or just a shadowed person, a silhouetted man. And then there's the cat with red glowing eyes that perches right on your chest as you can't move and stares at you. So these are all the creepy entities of sleep paralysis. A lot of people see them, which the part that I'm still trying to wrap my head around, why do people from all over the world, from all different cultures, see the same entities?
Wow.
Is it because we all manifest fear in the same way? You know, that to me makes sense. It's kind of like something you said, JJ, in a previous podcast, where our brains are such complex machines that they could create things that aren't really there.
Yeah, and I know Catherine has some experience with this.
Oh, really?
Well, yeah, I was just going to say, we've been talking about how much we want to talk about sleep paralysis, but we haven't had anyone bring it up yet. Well, Noah, I think you've had some experiences too, right?
Yeah, I've had spiders that drop down in my face.
Oh, which explains your fear of spiders.
Yep, there you go.
Just like Ron Weasley. Shout out to our Harry Potter fans. I've always experienced it, but it's usually in the middle of the day, like during those afternoon naps, which I don't know if my body is just like not used to being asleep at that time or what, but it usually happens then. And it's right when I'm falling asleep. I can remember a time in high school, I was on our, like, the bus going home, and I was slowly falling asleep, and I just was so aware, but trapped in my body. Like, I knew my mouth was wide open, and I'm just, like, sitting on the bus, and I'm sure everyone's staring at me while I'm asleep, but with my mouth open. It was so weird.
Wow.
Anyways, well, fast forward, I went to grad school for occupational therapy, and we learned about sleep cycles and that kind of thing. And so it's normal for, like, your muscles and arms, legs, and everything to kind of feel paralyzed, because they are in the fourth stage. You go through like paradoxical sleep, so that's normal. And they say, yeah, like the only things that you can move or that can move on their own are your fingertips or your genitals, which is, you know, I think pretty cool.
The important part.
Yeah. So so now whenever it happens less to me now, but when it happens now, I'm always, you know, aware that I'm asleep or trapped. And so I try to like move something or move my arms to wake myself up by using my fingertips, because it's so scary once you're like trapped in there. The shadow people, that's very real. I definitely feel like someone's in the room, or that I'm like hyper aware of people or things around me. I've had instances where like my dream is like I'm being choked or like I can't breathe during my school day, and then I wake up just like short of breath. So I don't know, the cat sitting on my chest. I don't know. Yeah. There's something to it for sure.
Oh, I was just gonna say, so Kat, like, it also sounds like, because of how you've studied it, you kind of like view it more as like there's a scientific explanation, a hallucination, that sort of thing. But Andy, you think that there's more to it than that?
Yeah, at first I thought it was completely psychological, because we can't forget we're dreaming. We're still dreaming. So the brain is a powerful tool. And to me, it made sense that people from all walks of life and different cultures saw the same people, because we're all human. We're all the same species. So we all manifest fear the same way, like an intruder. But recently, something happened that made me believe that sleep paralysis may be more than just a psychological issue, that maybe when we're sleeping, our brains are sensitive and vulnerable, and maybe they open some sort of portal to the other side. And this leads me to my story. So last year, I had a death in the family. Her name was, we called her Fita. I have a big Cuban family. And Fita was everybody's nanny. She wasn't related to us. She dedicated her life to taking care of the young kids in the family. You know, we loved her. She lived a long, full life. She was very funny, very sarcastic. And towards the tail end of her life, she was ready to go. And she kept saying that she kept seeing the light, and she kept getting messages from the other side saying that she's ready to go. And she would always joke around and say that when she died, she would come back as a ghost to haunt us and pull on our toes at night.
Oh my gosh.
And that was just her thing.
I really hope this ends with you getting your toes pulled. Sorry, keep going.
Yeah. Fita, she loved to talk about death in a really like morose, funny way, kind of like, you know, Lydia Deetz and Beetlejuice. And so when she died, although it was very sad, we all knew she was in a better place. So shortly after she died, I'd say a few months later, I had my sleep paralysis. And this time I wasn't scared. This time it was a much more peaceful energy, because the shadow man didn't come to visit me. Mm-hmm. He didn't appear at the door like a dementor and float to my bed. This time I saw Fita standing at the foot of my bed, and she was talking to me as if nothing had ever happened, as if I was just visiting her. And I remember specifically her laugh. She had like a cackle laugh. I remember her specifically saying that it was really great where she was. She said, es una maravilla aquí, which means it's a marvel where I am, and it's better than I expected. She said it was better than she thought it ever would be where she currently was. And then I remember her specifically saying in Spanish, portate bien, like behave. And then I woke up from the paralysis. Okay, weird. You know, it's the first time a relative ever visited me during my paralysis. A few months later, my older brother, Carlos, who's never had sleep paralysis in his life, randomly has sleep paralysis now as a 33-year-old man. And again, he told me that Fita visited him during his paralysis and sure as hell started pulling on his toes and laughing. So she didn't pull on my toes, she pulled on his. And then I also recently had another visitor during my sleep paralysis. He was a friend of the family, his name was Tom, really spiritual guy. Me and him always bonded because we loved talking about spirituality and ghosts. And I remember him specifically saying, when I die, maybe I'll come pay you a visit. I shit you not, he said that. And sure as hell, years after he died, not immediately after, years after he died, showed up in one of my sleep paralysis moments. That one is pretty vague. I don't remember exactly what he said. I just remember the frequency of his voice. And then he drifted off.
Why do you think it was years later?
Well, I wasn't that close to Tom Chamberlain. He had a big family, so I would imagine
if he went to visit people, he'd probably hit up his family first.
Right. And I live in L.A. He died in Miami. So, you know, let's say ghosts are real, and he was an actual ghost. Maybe it took a lot of effort to come pay me a visit, and maybe he was waiting until the portal was open or the receiver of my brain was open, and it took that long. Now what I think sleep paralysis is, I think when you're in that vulnerable spot, your brain becomes a receiver. You become more open to other realms. So I think maybe Fita, my relative, saw an opportunity to come pay me a visit, and the same with my brother, or they are the ones that caused the paralysis. Who are we to say? These are just theories based on what I've experienced.
Just to clarify, so when this has happened, you're seeing these people and then you're snapping out of the paralysis. So it's not like a dream state where you're dreaming and things are a little different and then you're waking up. Is that correct?
That's correct. Your eyes are open. You're looking into the room. You could see your surroundings. You just can't move.
I've always experienced like the visual part. I can't see clearly. It's always like a blur coat of like I have eye drops in my eyes or something. It's like a very blurry like outline of figures in the room. Like I can see lights and everything.
Yeah, me too. Me too. But I was able to make out the exact sound of my relatives, and I do remember the exact words. I remember I woke up quoting, "It's a marvel here where I am. It's way better than I ever thought it would." Wow. And this is a very pious woman who spent her life praying the rosary every day, and she had a near-death experience where she claimed she, you know, saw the light, and they were able to resuscitate her and bring her back. So this is a woman who I think was very woke and connected to the other side. Mm-hmm. So
there's a lot of stories and interviewers and people that are consistent with saying like when like in your dreams people will visit you specifically, like, and you can tell because you remember what they say. I mean, I can't remember my dreams 5 minutes after having them. And then they say, like, if someone's actually visiting you, that you remember exactly what they say. You can even, like, observe what they're wearing or, like, what they're doing. But I like this theory about your brain having to be, like, totally relaxed and like, off in a way for it to be susceptible for, like, spirits to come through or something like that. I've never personally had, like, not that I can remember, like, a loved one coming into a dream of mine and, like, saying something very clearly. But right after my grandma died, I for sure had like a very clear dream of her like sitting in a lounge chair. It was like her 20-year-old self and she was like smoking a cigarette and just looked totally relaxed and normal. We didn't talk, but I do clearly kind of remember that picture.
Yeah, I had a lady who helped raise me as a child and she passed away when I was a junior in high school. And I can still remember I had a dream where I walked out into my yard of my parents' home at the time and she just kind of apparated right in front of me and she was like, "Hey, you know, I'm okay where I am. It's great. You don't need to worry about me. You're gonna be fine." And then we just hung out for a little while and then she just kind of disappeared and I woke up. You know, it's interesting how that happens. I'm not sure, you know, what that was exactly. Now in your case, it's from a sleep paralysis, which I've never heard before, so that's fascinating.
Yeah, so if they are actually visiting you, if your relatives are actually visiting you, that would mean that the other bad guys, the evil entities like the Shadow Man, the Hat Man, those people are real too. If Sita was actually there, logic would lead me to believe that the other entities are real as well. Maybe from another dimension. Maybe they're dark entities. I don't know. I really don't.
Yeah, well, and it's interesting because if we go down this theory, then there's going to be people that are more sensitive than others. Obviously, some people that have sleep paralysis, some that don't. I had a really close friend who had such extreme sleep paralysis that she could feel hands gripping her ankles and pulling her from the bed, and she'd wake up on the floor. Like she had, she had to go on medication most of her life, and she's an extremely anxious person. Oh, I hope she doesn't listen and figure out who I'm talking about. Anyways.
Holy shit.
Yeah, well, because the reason I say that is because later on, I moved to Oregon and I met a woman. You've heard the podcast episode, Teresa the Medium. I met her in Oregon. Oh, yeah. And like, she was telling me how, you know, the Long Island medium in her book says when she started feeling spirits, she was always told and diagnosed as like bipolar or schizophrenic, or that she was just making it up, or she was anxious and they would medicate her and then she'd be totally numb to the whole world. And that I feel like is kind of what happens every day to people who experience something as intense as sleep paralysis, you know, to that level. And then they're just thrown with diagnosis and medication and then nobody's sleeping well and then no one's happy. So...
Yeah, I know my sleep paralysis directly correlated with anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
And once I was able to remove some of the anxiety from my life, I really don't get the sleep paralysis very often anymore. Every now and then I will wake up and see a spider dropping from the ceiling to my face.
Wow.
But it's happened so many times that I'm like, okay, I've never seen a spider that big before. I'm going to roll over and go, you know, quote unquote, go back to sleep. So it doesn't faze me as much, but it's still unsettling just to know that something's capable of taking whatever our idea and perception of reality is and twisting it to where for those moments, you can't tell what's real and what's not real.
Plus, if you experience this so frequently, there's no way you're going to relax enough to go to sleep because you know what's coming when you go to sleep. Yeah. It's happening so often. So there comes insomnia.
Yeah.
There's no telling.
Yeah.
Andy, when do you know if when your aunt visited, was it your brother in his?
Yeah, my brother also coincidentally had a sleep paralysis for the first time in his life, which to me is that, like, I'm a believer now.
And do you know if when she visited him, did she say anything to him as well?
He didn't tell me that she said anything. He only remembers the toes being grabbed, and that's it.
So she did grab his toes?
When you were telling your story, Andy, I literally had my toes curled up under my feet. I was like, he's going to say she pulled them, and you didn't say it. And then just now I curled all my fingers and toes in.
Wow. And she would do that. I know that that's her personality. So, you know, but again, it, you know, that's the memory he has of Sita. So it would make sense that in a dream he would manifest her that way. But I think it's the latter. I think it's real.
And Andy,
I believe.
I believe that we, our common friend Nicole, doesn't she get sleep paralysis as well and see a man standing at the end of her bed?
Yeah, Nicole and I have talked about the shadow man often. I mean, ask around. I think a lot of people see the shadow man. And that's what my feature film is about. It's the main character suffers from sleep paralysis, and she sees a shadow lady, which is actually just a metaphor of her sexuality. She's growing, she's becoming a woman, it's her adolescence, hormones are shifting, and all that anxiety is manifested into a shadow lady.
Wow.
And so when I was writing the screenplay and when I was shooting the film, and I had all these fresh images of shadow people in my brain because I was editing them late at night, I would have sleep paralysis so often. And then once I finished making the film and I closed that chapter of my life, I stopped having it. But hey, I had it. I went to Vegas last weekend and I had it in the hotel room. And I think it's because I was very uncomfortable. The bed was uncomfortable. I was kind of anxious that night because of work. And then it happened. But I didn't see a shadow person. It was just dark energy next to my bed. So it's different. It's not always the shadow guy.
So when you were having sleep paralysis during filming and everything, would you see the shadow man?
I would see the hat man specifically during that time.
Gotcha. It makes me wonder.
What does the hat man look like? I mean, I take it he wears a hat.
If you Google hat man sleep paralysis, the scariest images will come up. He's a silhouetted man with a big hat. Big Civil War hat. There's a really good documentary on Netflix called The Nightmare that's all about sleep paralysis. They interview people from all over the world and they do the scariest reenactments. Ooh. I actually used that horror film, that documentary, as a visual reference for my feature, Between the Darkness.
Ooh. Yeah. Okay, so we're looking up pictures of Hat Man. Looks pretty terrifying. Would not want to.
It's funny. I just got back from Scotland and I stayed in a hostel with like 12 other females in the middle. Like, people go in and out all night long, all hours of the day, because who knows where they're going, and hostels. But anyways, I remember waking up and I saw a black figure with like a hat. And it freaked me out so hard. I didn't have a light, so I just decided to stare at it, because some of the other podcast people are like, just confront it. Like, don't be scared of it. Don't hide. And then, of course, someone opens the door, which I didn't know a person was next to the shadow figure too, opens the door and the light just pours on like someone's coat with a hat on the top, right? Which is terrifying. But then sometimes I still had to like try to manifest like happy dreams. And sometimes I find myself just in normal nightmares, waking up and trying to manifest a happier dream when I go back to sleep. And I wonder if that has anything to do with this,
right,
too.
I know. And my wife is usually my savior. She's the one that wakes me up from these horrible, you know, dementor trying to suck my soul out of my face.
Again, any Harry Potter fans listening, let us know.
Yeah. The dementor is the best way I'll describe it. Because now they suck your soul out. That's sort of what it looks like. He starts, like, breathing in my essence, and then Lisa, my wife, usually grabs me and wakes me up because she could hear me inhaling and exhaling and losing my breath.
Interesting you bring the heavy breathing up, because one time I was also looking up sleep paralysis, and it's closely related with sleep apnea, which is just like your body's lack of sufficient oxygen at night. So that's interesting, because maybe because you're breathing harder, it influences what you're seeing or feeling.
Maybe.
Am I playing the skeptic, you guys? Catherine's playing the skeptic. I like to say of the three, I'm most of a believer, but...
The most woo-woo.
The most woo-woo. Yeah.
I'm a skeptic, too, because I like to understand things first, but I am a hard believer in ghosts because I've seen an apparition, and that's a separate story, so... Because of that, sure. I will believe anything.
So
I will believe. Yeah.
I want to hear it.
So that's a great transition. Why don't you tell us about the apparition that you saw?
Yeah, I saw an apparition. And before that, I was skeptical on ghosts. But it wasn't until I saw it that I became a believer. And one thing is for me to see it, but for me and my mom to both see him at the same time and describe him as the same apparition, to me, is definitive proof that ghosts are real. Ghosts, yeah. Whatever you want to call them, are real. Let's just call them ghosts. So I'll tell you the story. It was in Salem, Massachusetts, you know, where all those poor witches died. All those poor innocent women died of being accused of witches. So we went to a ghost tour, one of those hokey ghost tours, because we're really into that kind of thing. And we went to a cemetery, and nothing happened. So me and my mom decided to go after the tour back to the cemetery to see if we saw anything, because we are in the pursuit of knowledge. And my dad and my brother stayed in the parking lot with the car running, nervous. They're like, all right, do what you got to do, you weirdos. So we went and walked through the cemetery, and it has the old gravestones that are like broken debris, so many dead people. And we're there for a while. And this is a hot and humid summer night, you know, the kind of humidity where it's just wet. I'm from Miami, so this is normal. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, like someone left the refrigerator door open, a cold breeze comes in. And I know that sounds so cliche, a cold breeze rolled in.
But
it happened. A cold breeze showed up out of nowhere. I'd say maybe 5 minutes later when we decided to leave, my mother grabs my arm and she says, look. And I look in the direction in which her finger is pointing. And there's a man wearing a 17th century overcoat. He's walking in front of us. He's casually walking in front of us. He looks at us casually like, oh, look, there's people there. How nice. And then looks the other way and completely dissipates into the night. He disappeared.
Oh.
Disappeared. Like in the movies, you know?
So both of you, and both of you saw him.
We right? both saw him. So if it were me, I would probably, you know, I'd say, yeah, I hallucinated it because the brain is complex. But we both saw a man and we described the man the same. So ghosts are real.
Now, I have a question. When he dissipated, would you describe it as like in the seventh Harry Potter movie when Voldemort just disintegrates? Or would you describe it as like the fourth movie or fifth movie? Oh, my goodness. When, spoiler alert, but when Sirius Black goes into the void in the Ministry of Magic.
Nice. I'm so glad you brought that example up because, he vanished like Sirius Black in the veil, in the mirror.
Wow.
It was a fade. It was a fade, not a turn to ashes that go up into the air. He faded. And I'm an editor. I work with a lot of crossfades in between cuts.
Mm-hmm.
And the way I would describe this fucking guy is he crossfaded in front of me, or he just faded into the night.
You were not like in a forest or like lots of trees around or obstacles. This was like you had a clear visual field in front of you.
I had a clear field in front of me, and he wasn't up against anything. He was there. It was a guy, and he looked at us. So like the question is that I know for a fact that guy was there. But what was that guy? What is a ghost? What is the science of a ghost? Did that guy live once upon a time and that is his energy that's lingering? Or is that guy currently living his life and maybe we are the ghosts to him?
Whoa.
Because time travel.
I mean,
my other theory is that ghosts are not ghosts. The ghosts are just living their lives. And what we are looking at is time, another time period that is somehow caught in some sort of quantum glitch, and haunted places are just glitchy places in time.
Okay, so for me personally, that is like, I have that same thought sometimes about ghosts, that like I'm like very skeptical of it. I think there's like spirits and stuff like that. But then when you think about how like time is a fifth dimension, space is a fourth dimension, or like, you know, space and time are different dimensions. And it's like it's like the fourth dimension. I'm saying a lot of bad physics facts. Physics fans, get on me. I welcome the criticism.
Okay. JJ, pick a dimension and stick with it.
All right. But so like we live in three-dimensional worlds, right? And time is a fourth dimension.
Wait, how many dimensions?
We live in a three-dimensional world. So like if you read something like Flat World, it's like a world that's in like a two-dimensional universe, right? So these are two-dimensional beings, and then like one day, one like triangle or something sees like this weird dot that like keeps moving all around the room in like unexpected patterns, and he's like, "What on earth is this?" And he goes up to the dot, and the dot's like, "Oh, I'm a three-dimensional ball." And then the three-dimensional ball takes the two-dimensional triangle on a trip, takes him over his little like flat world, and he's like, "Look at all that. That's your world." He's like, "Whoa, I like never could have comprehended that."
Yeah.
That very long metaphor was just to say that like
we can't comprehend it.
That dimensions above us are incomprehensible how they like actually work. Like the way we experience time is not actually what time is. It's something
kind
totally
of
different.
Used your ball and triangle example just now, JJ. To describe like the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit to me as like it's a different dimension. So like visualizing a globe that like God is looking over and he touches it with his fingertip, his elbow, and his nose. Like it's three different things. But like, so we're just seeing the ends of those parts, but, you know.
Well, I don't know about that.
Hey, I'm just saying what I was taught.
No, I mean, I believe in God. I'm not a religious person. I don't go to church and I don't pray. And I think, you know, religion is sort of like a business. But I do believe there's some truth to God. And I think all of that is just another form of whatever ghosts are made of. It's the force. Let's call it the force from Star Wars. I think that's what God is. It's a force. It's an energy field that we can't understand. And I think ghosts are all part of whatever that is. I don't package it into Christianity and Catholicism. That's not my platform in believing in that stuff. But I do believe in that thing that people call God.
Church of the Jedi.
Church of the Jedi.
Yeah.
I think I agree. I agree with that in the part. I feel like I'm more distant now than I used to be to like believing in more of my spiritual, you know, faith or whatever. And I think if I were to one day like understand that ghosts were real, I feel like all of it would be true to me. Like they kind of go together with me.
Yeah.
Maybe that's my first time saying it out loud, but still trying to think that out.
Maybe.
So Andy, are you more of a triangle or a ball?
I'm a triangle kind of guy.
It's okay. We don't understand it either.
Yeah. What the hell? Andy, you're a three-dimensional ball. You're not a two-dimensional triangle.
I think what scares me the most is the idea that Jessica Young put forward in episode 10, where she mentioned that, you know, maybe a ghost is just an entity stuck in a loop. That to me freaks me out more than anything. Just a never-ending flash of like back and forth.
That sounds terrifying.
A residual haunting is the term for what they're calling it, is a ghost that's stuck on a loop. And that to me is even more terrible. To have to relive the same moment for eternity.
Mm-hmm.
And that guy who I saw in the cemetery, he's wearing that clothing. He's still walking through. He's probably walking home. Maybe he was stuck in a loop too.
Yeah, I feel like I keep adding in all these things, but I just heard about that the other week. We were on I was on like a haunted ghost tour in Scotland, and we went like underneath the streets into the vaults, and the tour guide kept saying like, well, in this room, there's a residual spirit, and in this room, you know, there's one that, and the residual spirits don't know you're here. They won't see you. They won't feel you. They're going to be doing their own thing. They're stuck in a loop.
Jesus.
And then they would say,
yeah.
And then we'd walk into
like
another
room.
Right. And then we walk into another room. Oh, like a panther. they'd say like, okay, well, in here, the spirit is very aware that you're here and he doesn't like it. So if you leave the room with bruises, like it was a whole nother story.
So how did you and your mom, were you accepting of the fact that you two had just seen a ghost, or how did you guys react to that?
Yeah, I mean, we're Cubans, we're Latin, we're very emotional people. So my mom reacted with like a very loud gasp, like, oh, I sort of, you know, kept my cool. I was really scared, but I didn't vocalize it. And we sort of like held each other and, you know, we grabbed each other's arms and we just marched out of there. And the moment we got in the car, we all started just spewing, talking over each other. It was the reaction that you would assume after seeing a ghost, your first ghost.
We're waiting for it. Come on, ghosts.
When you and your mom talked about like what the ghost looked like, I mean, was it clear to you that you had both seen, like visualized it in the same way?
Yeah, because we both described the one defining characteristic, which was the coat. He had a very long overcoat that when he walked, you could see the flap. And I remember specifically seeing limbs. I saw arms, I saw legs. He was walking at a pretty fast stride, like he was in a hurry. Horror movie shit happening before my eyes. I mean, listen back to all the podcast episodes, and everyone has a story, and you start to see the patterns in all the stories. They're all similar. So I just believe there are too many ghost stories out there, and most people I know have had at least some electrical anomaly or something happen to where this can't all be one giant practical joke, like the medium that you guys had on your show. What? Why would she lie about that? She has nothing to gain. So it's all real.
Yeah. I'm definitely since starting this podcast and like having interviewed all these different guests, like would consider myself a lot more agnostic on ghosts and like completely like, no, they don't exist.
You know? That's fair.
But I really think your explanation of like, you know, maybe this is just how like time operates. That's like kind of something that I'm like, that seems like a possibility that like, it's just something beyond our comprehension. And so to necessarily like label it as like something supernatural, which I don't think you're doing. I think, you know, I mean, you're kind of, you also kind of seem open to the possibility that it either could be supernatural or it could be like this really strange way that we can experience time every now and then.
Mm-hmm. I think it's science. I think ghosts are science. Yeah. They're just a science that we can't understand because we don't have the measurements or the tools because there's not enough funding to go into investigating the dead because it's fringe science. Maybe if there was more funding, we would be able to understand what the hell a ghost was.
Yeah, and I do think, you know, maybe there's another reason why I think like these kind of stories, like your story is so convincing, is that both of you saw it, and it's, you know, it's easy to say, okay, well, maybe one person just, it was a trick in their mind. But for like, two people to see the same thing, I think possibly after having, I've watched this documentary called The Mind Explained on Netflix, and the very first episode's about memory. And specifically about how, you know, with eyewitness testimony, you know, something happens and then the minute, say, a police officer, because, you know, sometimes it happens, what do you think, it was that guy? Then it's like, yeah, it was that guy. And like the people who are like misidentifying the criminals, mistaking them for innocent people, many times have very clear, crystal clear memory of what happened with that person's face on it. And so just kind of that like initial suggestion sometimes can warp memories. And so I wonder maybe when there's like multiple sightings, if that might be a possible explanation, but it's so hard to tell, especially not having experienced it firsthand.
Maybe. And then I have a third and final ghost experience. This happened in New Orleans, another haunted town. We stayed in a known haunted hotel called the Hotel Monte Leon. It was featured in the movie Girls Trip. They stayed there.
Oh, yeah.
And apparently a little boy died of pneumonia there. So the TV was on. We were ready to go. My father goes, all right, guys, turn the TV off. We're going to dinner. And the TV turns off by itself on command and won't turn back on. And okay, what are the odds that the TV would turn off on command in that exact moment and then not turn back on? And you hear the stories of how ghosts are able to tamper with electronics. And that to me is science, because if ghosts are energy, wouldn't it make sense for them to be able to manipulate other forms of energy, walkie-talkies, electricity, TV, you know?
Now, did your dad clap when he said that?
No. Nice one, Noah.
The early prototype of clap on, clap off.
The clapper. Come on.
Yeah, no, that's strange. I mean, you know, is it coincidence? Is it, who knows?
Our TV in our house, it'll just randomly turn off sometimes. And it does freak me out because I just, for some reason, I always look at the dogs like, did you two do this? As if they have some ability to turn the TV off and on. But it is a creepy thing when electronics misbehave and you don't have any explanation for it.
JJ, that you'd ever plan an event or an outing where you and your friends, maybe the whole podcast crew, should go to a haunted place and spend the night and try to make contact.
Yeah. I'm totally into that.
I don't know if I can do it.
Yeah, we had a paranormal investigator on, but he claimed that he's coming down to Atlanta.
Right, we're hoping.
Yeah, and he invited us to go on a hunt with him, so.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
I would be.
JJ, you gotta do it. You gotta do it.
Oh, hell yeah.
Wow.
Maybe we'll all finally have sex with a ghost.
There we go. That's the main reason we started this podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. When I went on that tour in Scotland, I was so much better at listening to the stories than I've ever been. I wasn't like, you know, I went on a tour in high school in Savannah and had to wear headphones and listen to music the whole time because I was such a scaredy cat. But here I did great listening, but I could not look around me. I couldn't look up. I had to hold my arms because she said there's one ghost that'll like hold your hand because it's like a little boy. So I had to like keep my hands up.
Oh, God.
Jesus.
And then, yeah, it was crazy.
Jesus. Yeah, I do believe, I'm skeptical of those ghost tours because they have to find a way to make money and have people come back. So I've heard of incidences where they actually orchestrate things and they show you fake orb photos.
Mm-hmm.
Orb is another thing because orbs could very much be lens flare and dust. Mm-hmm. Like only certain orbs I actually believe in to be real energy, but most supposed orbs is just dust. No.
Well, Andy, I know that you've got to go. Is there any other projects that you're currently working on that you'd like to plug?
Yeah, I just wrapped on a docu-series for Forbes on the new Forbes 8 platform. It's called Titans on the Rocks. It's kind of like Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee, but it's had a ball drinking cocktails, opening up, getting candid, and talking about the secrets to success. And we've got Cedric the Entertainer, Max Greenfield, a lot of exciting people on the show. It'll be available soon, so Titans on the Rock on the Forbes 8 platform.
Awesome. Well, any parting words you'd like to give our listeners before we let you go?
Clap on.
Clap on cue. Ghosts are real. Believe. Open your eyes.
All right, Andy. Well, we're going to let you go, and then we're going to wrap up. We appreciate you coming on the podcast.
All right. Take care, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
You too.
All right, guys. Well, that was Andy. JJ, how are you feeling after those stories?
Okay, well, I love the fact that time is a dimension that we can't comprehend.
Our
three-dimensional human brains just can't understand it.
JJ is beaming right now. He's very excited.
This is like late night talks I've had with my roommate many a times. So I'm still skeptical is the thing.
It's interesting because I've seen Andy's movie. It's really good. I recommend our listeners, if you're into spooky horror stuff, check it out. We want to obviously support our friends. The sleep paralysis thing, as somebody who's suffered with that on and off for maybe 20 years or so, it sucks. I mean, it's not fun having things happen to you that you can't control and that you can't necessarily explain, especially when you're in a state of rest. You know, I mean, the word rest connotes that it's a peaceful experience.
Yeah.
With me, like I said, it was always spiders, and it took me a while to kind of get a hold of it and kind of just accept, even when it was happening, like, okay, this is that thing, and I just go back to sleep. It wouldn't freak me out. But there were times where I would wake up and I'd throw myself off the bed.
Yes.
From, I guess, fear of the spider or whatever. But I have never heard a story where a relative visits somebody in sleep paralysis and speaks to them. That's something that I've never heard before.
Yeah.
And I don't know, you know, it could just be his brain way of putting him at peace with a passing of somebody that he cared about. I kind of lean towards that's what I experienced seeing the person who meant a lot to me that passed away in a dream. That really left me, I feel like, with something to think about. The idea of sleep paralysis and having some, because you can't even move, you know, and the spirits is coming in and talking to you.
Yeah, I definitely, when he said, is it, you know, your brain does this and then you ghosts can come in, or are the ghosts causing your brain to do this? Yeah. I'm definitely like the first one. If this theory was true, I definitely think it's like you know, something to do with the brain that's making you more vulnerable or susceptible.
And that would make sense with like the mediums we spoke to, or mm-hmm. people that have had experience with mediums, or even like Devin that came on the podcast who sees ghosts pretty frequently. Mm-hmm. Maybe there is something in the brain with certain people that connects them to a wavelength that we're not really privy to. Yeah.
I will say that I don't know if I'm any more of a believer or skeptic. Who knows anymore? The way he explained things is where my brain is all the time. It's like science, 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 but also coincidences and like so many consistencies in these stories from people of all walks of life. So,
isn't that the most wild thing? Is it really is all walks of life. We've had a literal scientist come on our podcast, and who, you know, the word woo-woo is fairly new to me, but I mean, by all accounts, is fairly woo-woo because of these experiences that he's had.
Y'all, am I the most woo-woo person in this episode with my time thing?
You're something. I don't know if it's woo-woo.
Let's
nerd.
Not go into that. I feel like that doesn't give a good depiction to people who want to be woo-woo. So, no.
I just kept seeing you as a triangle and Kat as a ball and you two having to talk to each other. So
Sometimes it's like that.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, guys. Well, any parting words that you guys want to add?
I loved this episode. This was really great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Really cool interview.
Awesome. Well, I'm Noah Daniels.
I'm JJ Crable.
I'm Catherine Clark.
Ooh. What's up, guys? It's Noah Daniels with the Real Hauntings Podcast. We have a fun announcement for you guys.
Yeah, because it's October and Halloween is right around the corner and it's a very spooky season. We thought we'd bring you a little bonus episode.
That's right.
All right, guys. So we're going to actually drop a bonus episode on Halloween. This episode will be different than our normal episodes. We're not going to have a guest on who's going to tell their personal real ghost story. We're going to share some of our favorite ghost stories throughout the time of time.
Ghost stories we didn't experience, but we heard about them or read them.
And mine's going to be the scary.
Kat has promised something truly out of this world.
Dun, dun, dun.
You be the judge. Is it real? Is it not real?
Halloween, morning, listen, download, rate, subscribe.
Obey.